Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is my great joy to serve this wonderful congregation. You are welcome here, no matter who you are, who you love, or what your gender is. You are welcome whether you come alone, surrounded by others, if this is your very first time, or you've been coming for 50 years. You are welcome if you are here in the sanctuary, if you are joining us online, if you're watching a recorded service. Everyone is welcome. We are going to rise and sing, "Enter, Rejoice, and Come In." The words will be on the screen. So I want to welcome particularly people who are here visiting with us. If you are, we would love to know more about you. You can fill out a visitor's form in the foyer, or on the back of your seats is a QR code, and you can use that to get to our visitor form. Afterwards, yes, see, we got it right here. afterwards, there's coffee downstairs for further visiting. And there's a coffee time online where people can get together, and that was in your order of service this morning. We really appreciate if everybody in the sanctuary turns their phones off or on airplane mode, because we don't have really great bandwidth in here, and that really does suck it up. So that's a really kind thing to do. If you look in your online e-blast, you'll notice that we're having a nature and spirituality workshop on September 30th. I'm really recommending that to people, so if you want to check that out, it's going to have forest bathing and journaling and other fun elements to connect us with nature. So you are welcome here. These are the words that we say every single week, day, week in and week out. And our theme this month is welcome. And this is our opening service of the congregational year. And it is worth remembering why we say that every week. We say these words because one of the deepest values of Unitarian Universalism is hospitality. We believe that each person matters. We believe that each person has truth to share. We believe that each person should have a voice in what matters to them and be treated fairly and with compassion. And some of us are not welcome in places where welcome matters, like stores and workplaces and community spaces and in some congregations. People, we are told we are not right. We are too gay, or we're too trans, or we don't speak English, or our skin is not dark enough, or our body moves and works in different ways. We may feel that parts of ourself are not welcome, like our grief, or our pain, or our failing memory, or the way we are so easily distractible, or maybe our humanism, or our theism, or our Christianity, or maybe it's our singing voice, or our inability to carry off small talk. So we hide parts of ourselves in order to belong. We Unitarian Universalists believe deeply that everyone matters, that all of you is welcome. And one of the important ways you use can act out our conviction that everyone matters is to welcome people. We notice those around us. We greet them. We make others feel welcome, valued, and as if they belong. We do this here at WOLF and extend this into the world where each day our neighbors and communities desperately need our welcome.
So as we get ready to light our chalice this morning, which is the symbol of our faith, we're going to hear some words from the Reverend Karen LeBlanc. And this morning, Isaac is going to be our chalice lighter. So if you will come up, Isaac, and be ready to light the chalice. These are the words from Karen LeBlanc. This isn't just a place of worship. This isn't just a fellowship of like minds. It isn't just a Sunday morning filled with spirit and topped off with coffee and cookies. This is our church, our congregation, where we are building beloved community, where we are opening ourselves to each other, where we trust and love, rise and fall together. This is where we feel safe. This is where we know we are welcomed. This is where we belong. For this gift and for so many others, we light our chalice. And thank you, Isaac.
We can say our words of affirmation. We'll open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors. We will now sing Spirit of Life. You may rise. This morning, our congregation will be celebrating water communion. This is a traditional ritual held at WOLF and across Unitarian Universalist congregations across the world on this particular weekend. In this service, we remember all the ways that our congregations are like water, full of individual drops that join together for a higher purpose. Water is such an apt metaphor. We live on a water planet. 71% of the earth is covered in water. Mirroring that, 70% of our bodies are water. We must constantly renew the water within us from the water outside us and can only live a few days with no water at all. The earth only has a finite amount of water, and so it must be used and reused, meaning the water in us has been part of everything before. This next meditation reminds us of the way we are interconnected to the entire planet and to each other, as does the entire water communion ritual. So we are going to begin with a meditation called Stillwater Meditation by Carolyn Way. So if you were in the sanctuary or downstairs, you've probably received a little plastic bottle. It's a dropper. So you can open the lid, and I want you to put a dropper of water on your hand. And if you don't have one, have somebody around you share, because, you know, sharing is what we are about. If you're at home, if you could get some water from your water glass or from your kitchen or somewhere, put a drop of water and just put it in the palm of your hand, and then you're going to reflect on this water during this meditation. So the drop that you hold in your hand is part of the water which is the cradle of all of life. On this planet, eons ago, the first rain that splashed down on the hot earth to form the sea, each drop in sunlight has arisen from the sea in countless ages and fallen to the earth again as rain. The drop that you hold in your hand has been a prism forming myriad rainbows, has traveled in underground streams, bubbling through dark caverns. The architect of cathedral caves formed valleys and split granite. The drop that you hold in your hand has flowed down broad rivers, has risen in the sweat in the sap of trees, has been the sweat of slaves and the tears of children. It has become the foam-topped waves and the deep, unfathomable depths of vast, dark lakes and seas. The drop that you hold in your hand has been part of the great flood. It has been a dewdrop on a blade of grass, a drop that has been pounded through the heart of whales and lain in an eagle's egg. It has traveled in the fluid of a poet's brain and dripped from the wounds of the dying. The drop that you hold in your hand has been trapped in the snows of the Arctic, reflected the sun in a desert oasis, and refreshed the weary. This drop, unimaginably old, yet fresh and new, is evaporating slowly from your hand. To mingle with the air you breathe, perhaps to drift in a sun-topped cloud, 1,000 feet above the earth. It is the water of life.
I'm Salima Malson, and it is my privilege this morning to be your story reader. And our story this morning comes from China. It's an ancient story, retold by Nivedita Subramaniam and modified by our own Reverend Tracy. So a little background. In China, dragons are revered as gods. They are unequaled in power and wisdom. And the dragons are believed to rule the land, the clouds, the wind, and the rain. Now, in ancient China, the most sought-after treasure of the dragon was its pearl, which it held underneath its chin. So here's the story. The river dragon had lost his pearl. He flew high and low over the barren hill, desperately hoping that he would find it, but now the sun was almost set. Without his pearl, how would he breathe clouds ever again? What would happen to the people who prayed to him for rain? Who would save them from the great drought? The dragon prayed, "Come back to me, come back, come back." And lifting his scaly wings, he rose into the sky and flew away. Now, in a small burrow under the hill lay the pearl, safely hidden. And above it grew an unearthly shade of grass, so green that its blades glistened in the sunlight like wet ribbons. And that is how 10-year-old Zhao Sheng came upon it. He had climbed the hill determined to find something to help. His mother had worked so hard that her hands were coarse and her feet calloused. With the drought that had swept over the land, the people had barely enough food to eat and just enough water to live. Soon, the water in their well would dry up and the river would be nothing but mud. If only he could help. As he climbed the hill, this little 10-year-old boy, panting and wiping the sweat from his brow onto his sleeve, Zhao Sheng saw a lush patch of grass. He let out a whoop of delight. He could sell this at the market. As cattle feed, farmers would pay well for it. He knew that. And wouldn't his mother be proud? Carefully, he cut as much as he could carry in his basket and ran to the market, a song singing from his lips. Now that night, when Zhao Sheng gave his mother the money, she kissed his forehead, and he smiled, big smile at her. Tomorrow he would go again. He shut his eyes and was fast asleep. Zhao Sheng ran up the hill faster the next day. He had been lucky once, but these were hard times. What if there wasn't any grass? What if he had cut too much the last time? And what if someone else had discovered it? But it was there, that same unearthly patch of green. Relieved, he cried, laughed out loud, and broke into song again. No matter how soon Zhao Sheng returned to the patch, it had always regrown. He went as often as he needed to. Once he came back the same day, and there they were, those blades of green dancing in the wind. One day, when his knees were weak from climbing and the sun was beating hard down on his back, the little boy collapsed. He sat on the hill panting. His head was pounding, but he needed that grass. What could he do now? And it was as he shaded his eyes from the glare of the sun that an idea occurred to him. What if he were to take the grass back home and plant it there? Ha! The more he thought about it, the more he liked the idea. He sprang up and ran to the patch. Gently, he dug up the turf by the roots. And what do you think he found? Of course, the dragon's pearl. Zhao Sheng's eyes glowed. He dusted the pearl carefully and slipped it in his pocket. As he walked home, he couldn't help pulling it out every now and then to admire it. It was as beautiful as a cloud. When he got home, he made his mother close her eyes and stretch out her hand. And he placed the pearl carefully and gently in her palm and said, "Now open." His mother gasped. The pearl was so lovely that she didn't dare hold it. "Fetch the rice jar from the kitchen," she said. Zhao Sheng ran to get it. It was half empty, of course. Here, inside the grains of rice, she hid the pearl. "It is safe now," she told Zhao Sheng. The little boy did not notice that the grass he had planted in the garden had lost some of its brilliant glow. And the next morning, Zhao Sheng awoke not to the calls of the birds, but to the shouts of his mother. He rubbed his eyes sleepily and walked into the kitchen where she stood, her hands filled with rice. "What is it?" he asked. "Look," she cried, "look." And he saw that the jar of rice in which they had put the pearl was now overflowing. Rice grains were scattered all over the floor. Xiaosheng's eyes grew wide with awe. "Do you think this could be the dragon's pearl?" "The dragon's pearl?" His mother could not answer him. Why, she just couldn't imagine. But then, how else could grass grow in a day's time, or rice multiply overnight? While she was lost in thought, Xiaosheng ran out to the garden. He called out to his mother. "Oh, look," he said, pointing at the patch of grass. "Look how it has withered. It was always so green before." Now his mother was sure about the pearl and nodded her head. "It is the pearl of the river dragon, but it is a blessing. It is a blessing, Xiaosheng, a miracle. It is not yours or mine to keep. Its treasures belong to everyone." So quietly, Xiaosheng and his mother began to share their miracle. They gave grain and food to their neighbors, and word spread quickly. People began flocking to their home. Some were thankful, and Xiaosheng and his mother were happy to share. They laid a welcome table for everyone.
Let us rise and sing "Welcome Table." All going to sit at the welcome table. Each of us must offer radical hospitality and generosity to others. Only when we notice who is missing from the welcome table and offer them a place is it truly a welcome table. Only when we are generous with our blessings, as Xiaosheng and his mother are, can everyone be fed at the welcome table. Each week we take an offering during the service to practice giving and thus remind ourselves of all that we are capable of giving. This practice, week in and week out, is not in our service to collect funding to run the congregation, as many of us often believe. It is not payment for services. Rather, it is a chance every week to practice generosity. Generosity is a foundational Unitarian Universalist value. UUs hold central the importance of the interconnected web of existence, as well as fairness and kindness. Generosity is one way we practice these values. Giving strengthens the web by connecting us one to another. However, it is so easy for any of us to get caught in our own concerns and forget to be generous. This is why we practice every week, opening ourselves once again to sharing our blessings. Let us practice now.
So it continues now as the people come to Zhengxing and his mother's house and share food and all the blessings that come with food. Now, while most people who came were grateful, others seemed to be terribly greedy, and it shocked Xiaoxing. Then his mother would remind him that the pearl wasn't his in the first place. It was to be shared, no matter what. He would smile and nod his head. And the days were filled with great peace. It was as lovely as the lush green of the grass Xiaoxing had first discovered on the hill. Then one day, their landlord stood outside the door with a big old oily grin on his face. "Doing well for yourself, I see," the landlord remarked. Xiaoxing said nothing. The landlord inched closer. "What is this great secret of yours? Tell me." His mother came out and said loudly, "We share what we have. There is nothing to hide." The landlord's smile vanished. "I know you're hiding something from me, and the sooner you hand it over, the better. Remember, I am your landlord. What's yours is mine." Xiaoxing crossed his arms and said, "No. No." The landlord snorted and stormed into the house.
Sometimes our lives are filled with unexpected blessings, sheaths of green grass, rice overflowing, family and friends, bodies that move, voices that laugh and sing, food and housing, beauty and joy. Other times, what we love is threatened or taken, and we feel loss, grief, anger, or despair. Our congregation is here to celebrate the blessings and to offer tender care and solidarity during the losses. So I'd like you to please come forward and place a stone in the water to symbolize your joy or your sorrow. The water flows around our situation or emotion, welcoming it, just as it is, holding it, offering presence and care, just as this congregation can welcome, hold, and offer presence to each of us. And this morning, we're going to put the little stones in the little glass, because we've got water for water communion set up, so it's a little bit of a different setup. And you come down this aisle and around the back as you do it.
And so, when we left our story, the landlord had just stormed into the house. And Xiaoxing walked behind him and said, "Wait." As the landlord turned around, he said, "This secret, I will give it to you." The landlord's eyes glinted as he followed the boy into the kitchen. He did not notice the strange look of determination in Xiaoxing's eyes. He just hoped to find something that was going to make him very, very rich. He did not expect Xiaoxing to turn around with a pearl in his mouth. The boy faced the man, and with a glimmer of a smile, he swallowed the pearl. "Xiaoxing, no!" cried his mother. But it was too late. Suddenly, a terrified look came into the boy's eyes. "Water! Water! I need water!" His stomach and his whole body seemed to be on fire. His insides were raging. As fast as she could, his mother drew what water was left there from the well and gave it to him. He drank all of it, but it was not nearly enough. "More!" he cried. "More!" And his voice was hoarse. But there was no more. Screaming in agony, the boy ran down to the muddy stream, for that's all that was left of the river. It seemed now that the whole village had heard, for soon the villagers had gathered on both sides to watch him. It looked like he was drinking mud. Now, no one knew exactly when Zhao Sheng stopped being a boy and became a dragon. No one noticed until he stopped drinking and turned around and lifted his majestic glowing wings. His golden eyes were searching for whom? Of course, his mother. When he found her, he rose into the air, and as the villagers looked up, clouds filled the sky. Clouds filled the sky, and the rain fell down in great sheets. The people wept, their hearts filled with joy, and they danced, and they sang. At last, the great drought had come to an end. The river was full, and Zhao Sheng, the dragon who had once been a boy, swam serenely in the river. He turned around many times, to look at his mother, who stood in the rain watching him. Now, we don't know what happened to the original dragon, the one who lost the pearl. But if he has heard the story, he must be at peace. For after all, he did bring the rain. And sometimes Zhao Sheng, the dragon, flies over his village. And sometimes when his mother sits on the riverbank, she looks up at the clouds passing high above. Some of them look like dragons. She wonders which one is her beautiful, courageous, generous, hospitable son.
Zhao Sheng seeded the clouds, and he brought the rain, just as we have. The rain ended the drought and offered the people life-giving water and food. Clouds are water droplets so tiny that they float, easily moved in the air currents. When the air is warm, the droplets are light, and they're bouncy. Thank you, Scott. So appreciative. When the air is warm, I always said that, they're light and bouncy all around. But as the air cools, the droplets slow down. And when they slow down, they begin to discover each other, becoming one connection at a time, larger droplets. And as these droplets join together, they get heavier and larger and larger and heavier. And one day, they are so large and they are so heavy that the air currents can no longer hold them up. And then they begin to fall to the earth as rain. This time of year in the Pacific Northwest, we are so grateful for those large drops falling by the millions, saturating the earth, watering all the plants and all the gardens. At WWOOF, we love a gardening metaphor. Our current mission statement says, we plant seeds of inspiration, we grow in compassionate community, and we bloom in service to the wider world. Last year, we talked about how the flood of COVID rushed across our garden, meaning our congregational life. We spent the year paying attention to what grew back after this great flood, and what was gone forever, and what came in the flood took root in our soil that we did not expect. This year, we are going to articulate what we noticed changing in the last few years, as well as begin to make some decisions about our garden. What will we intentionally plant here? What will we tend to? What will we prune back? Out of the many, many things a religious community can be, what will we prioritize here? Over the years, WOOF has welcomed many people and many families. They have grown and lived within this community. They have changed and transformed here. People have healed their broken hearts, found new purpose, and discovered belonging. They gathered the courage to be the people they were most called to be and heal and love our broken world. People raised their children, found their people, and felt accepted for who they were. So much has happened within this congregation that has mattered deeply and made real differences in people's lives, both within and without our congregation and outside our congregation. Even as the congregation changed over the years and people came and went, the current of WOOF has been here for a long time. Things we once did, we don't do anymore, and things we do now, we did not do in the past. Congregations change. Who they are and what is important to them as the people change and the environment outside the congregation changes. The question WOOF will ask this year is, what kind of difference do we want to make now? Do we want to welcome people seeking grounding as the world swirls and changes? Offer belonging to queer people, refugees, and others pushed to the edges? Offer belonging for those who are lonely and despairing? Help people find a voice and become who they most are. Learn to live our faith in our families, communities, and the world by practicing our values. Challenging each other to become the most loving people we can be. Grow children's wonder and values. WOOF can be many things, but we can't be everything. Knowing what matters to us and the communities we belong to can help us decide how we focus our attention and our resources. Over the next months, we will have many chances to talk about these things in many venues, so you will all have a chance, whether you're just visiting here for a few times or you've been here a very long time. All voices matter. And this brings us back to clouds. In our garden metaphor, clouds are the values that nourish all life, just as real clouds nourish all life. Those values float, tiny and light, aspirational, until they meet other droplets and join together. It's hard to be our best selves, living our values by ourselves. We need other people to share our journey, to be kind in a world where meanness is so prevalent these days, to be welcoming when it's so much easier to gather tightly with those we know and who feel like us, and to be generous when we are frequently told the wisest action is to put ourselves first. This can be so hard unless other people around us are trying to do the same things, and we can take the journey together. At WOOF, we can meet people with similar values and join together in our quest to live those values. When enough people join together, those value droplets become so plump that they fall to the earth, into communities, and into our lives, offering the sustenance of love, welcome, generosity, kindness, honesty, courage, and other ways of being that allow lives to flourish. It is this rain that waters the garden that is WOOF. This is one of the attributes that makes us a community of faith instead of a community of people who like each other. At our best, we water everything we do with the values we believe will grow flourishing lives and communities. So what are these most essential values? Or if we had to choose the most important one, what would it be? Is it truth? Is it justice? caring, interdependence, hospitality, gratitude, respect, commitment, humility, curiosity, creativity, generosity. Imagine a congregation watered with kindness. How would that be different than a congregation watered with curiosity or creativity or watered with humility and commitment? Of course, Wolf is never going to be watered by one value. Many values saturate this congregation. Still, it is good to know what those are. It is good to know what matters most and how we most want to be present in the world. So before we start all those deep conversations about how Wolf wants to focus our attention over the next few years and what kind of congregation we most truly want to be, we need to consider what values will seed the clouds and what kind of values will nourish our garden. Knowing that helps us know what is possible to grow. So we're going to start this morning. So you all should have received a little cloud when you came in, and hopefully a writing implement or enough writing implements you can share with each other. And you will notice these are very small clouds. That means you can't write all the values that you have in the world. You're going to have to choose one. And if you write small, you can choose two. But that's it. That's all you got. So you got to choose the one that just most speaks to your heart in this moment. And we're going to put a slide up with a bunch of values on it because I happen to know that if it was me and somebody said, think of a value, I would really be hard-pressed to think of any value I ever had. So this is to sort of help you out. And this is not obviously a complete list of values. So, you know, if you have a different value, you're not, you don't have to have these values. It's not definitive. So if you are streaming this morning, you can put your values in the chat. Or you can make an email to me and send it to me at minister@wolf.org, and we can make a cloud for you. Or later there'll be clouds in the office, so everyone has a chance to fill out a cloud. So we will just take a couple of moments for this. All right. It is now time for water communion. We can put the cloud back up. It is now time for water communion, and so I'm going to invite everyone forward to pour water into the common bowl. So at this time, I mean, all the water, you might have brought water with you. That's often something people do from their travels or places they've been or from their home, somewhere important. And that is so welcome. If you did not bring water this morning, that's no problem either. We have pitchers of symbolic water here for you. And so you're free to use that water. If you're out there and coming forward to put water in doesn't work for you, Salima and I could come back if you raise your hand and find out what you want to pour. So what we ask is that when you pour the water, that you share a couple things with us. You can share what the water symbolizes. So you'll say the Willamette River, or you might say gratitude. And we would love to have you share the value that you wrote on your cloud. We have a lot of people, so if everybody just shares a couple of words is what we're looking for, not long sentences. We don't have a lot of time for that. And we would love for you to bring your cloud forward and put it in the basket when you bring the water. Oh, Salima's out collecting them. But if she did not collect them from you, then you can put them in your basket when you come on out. And I have a microphone here for you. So we will begin. Oh, wait a second. I forgot an important part. We always seed the water with the water from past water communions. This goes back decades. And so your water will be boiled a lot and put into this afterwards. We will now sing. We're going to sing The Tide is Rising, and we have some very capable song leaders this morning who will teach us the song. Hear the tune.
Where we are called. world is ready.
The world is ready, and so are we. The world is ready, and so are we. The world is ready, and so are we. This is where we are called to be. This is where we are called to be.
The tide is rising.
The tide is rising.
So I bless this water with our intentions, with our values, and the knowledge that the tide is rising and we are ready. I close with these words from the Reverend Cale Rice. It starts with a drop and then a trickle, a burble, a rush of water bubbling towards its destination, and finally the wide, endless sea. All rivers run to the sea. Today you shared in sacred community. May your hearts be filled with hope for new beginnings, a fresh start for this community, where rivers of tears may be shed, where dry souls are watered, where your joy bubbles, where your life cup overflows, where deep in your spirit you have found this place a home. All rivers run to the sea. We will now extinguish our chalice until we meet again, but it does not go out. As long as we carry its flame in our hearts, the light of Unitarian Universalism brightens and warms the world.